chapter number 15. And we'll look at a few verses here in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 this morning. And I hope that if you have a Bible, you'll follow with us, especially those of you who are joining by way of the internet. And we're certainly grateful for you folks that each Lord's Day watch. And this past week I've had several messages from you, several people, just very encouraging words and words of expression of thanksgiving that our congregation has this ministry. And so I appreciate you getting in touch with me, and it's always good to hear from people who are blessed by the ministry of 13th Street Baptist Church. And we're thankful that you can join us this morning. Though not physically, you're with us spiritually. And we rejoice to worship our God together. Well, before I go into the message, let me again with you seek God's face that He would bless today. Lord, it is such an honor to stand before these needy people as one who is needy myself, but as one who has found the answer and the all that I need for my sinful condition in the Lord Jesus. And as one sinner to other sinners, I shall speak to them, Lord, on your behalf, as one of your ambassadors, and I shall speak to them, Lord, about your only begotten Son, that one who is the only Savior of sinners, even the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you for these that you have gathered before me, those who are watching this morning. We ask, Lord, that the Spirit of grace would make the word effectual to all of us, and we know that He is able to save. And Lord, we ask that you will do just that and use the message that is delivered to be a blessing, Lord, to your people. May this be the message that is honoring to you, and may it be the message that you'll be pleased to use for the conversion of those who need the blessed Savior. We are not gathered to be entertained. Rather, we're gathered, Lord, to worship. We're gathered to listen to the Scriptures, to listen to the gospel of your grace. That is the gospel of the Son of God. That message of redemption, that message of reconciliation, that message of righteousness that has been brought in by the Savior's substitutionary death upon the cross of Calvary. Now, Father, I ask you to bless your dear people, those who find themselves in the midst of severe trials, Lord, we know that where you lead us, you will be with us. And you will never desert us. You will never forsake us. And even as David said in the Psalms, though we walk through the valley of the shadow of death, we need not fear any evil. And here's the reason. Thou art with us. We're thankful for our great shepherd, that one who laid down his life for his sheep. Lord, feed your sheep this hour, and may the word of God find a welcome within us. O God, magnify yourself and speak to us, your people. For Jesus' sake, amen. Well, I want to read the first four verses to you from 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and endeavor to speak to you on this subject. I declare unto you the gospel. That's the subject. Moreover, brethren, he says, and he addresses these Corinthians as brethren, as family members. You know, all of us who believe the gospel, we're family, aren't we? We're brethren. One God, one Father has adopted us into his family. We live by the word of God, one seed, this incorruptible word of God that lives and abides forever. We've been washed in one bloody sacrifice, the Lord Jesus. The Spirit of God has given to each of us spiritual life. We have a relationship with each other that is very, very dear and very, very precious. We are brethren. We are the family of God. He says, moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel. The gospel which I preached unto you years before this, when he was at the city of Corinth. And he stayed there for many months, 18 months, preaching the gospel. And God established a work there. God established a local church there under the ministry of this man, the Apostle Paul. He says, and this gospel which I preached to you, you received. You received, you believe this gospel. You believe this message. The scripture says, as many as received the Lord Jesus, to them gave he the power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. We receive him. We receive him as our prophet to teach us. We bow to no other authority save the authority of the Lord Jesus. I received a very good email from a brother this week who lives in another state, and he was asking me about Seventh-day Adventists. And he works with a man who is a member of the Seventh-day Adventist Church. And he said, could you tell me what they believe? And so I wrote him back and I told him the various things that they believe. And He said, I don't see how anybody can receive those things. Well, here's the fact of the matter. The natural man will receive error all the time unless God reveals the truth. This is why people don't believe the gospel. This is why they don't receive the gospel. And they listen to other voices. And I went on to tell him, the Seventh-day Adventists, they listen to another voice. They listen to a woman who claimed she was a prophet and that her writings were inspired. Listen, we bow to the writings only of our God. This is the Word of God, and our Lord Jesus, He's the incarnate Word of God. And we receive Him, and we receive His message only. No other writing is inspired. God didn't give any other books. He gave this book. Here's 66 books that make up one book. And we receive this book, because this is the Word of God. Even as our Lord Jesus is the incarnate Word who came down from heaven, this is the Word of God, as we spoke about a while ago. It's the Word of God that lives and abides forever. God said heaven and earth going to pass away. God's going to renovate them with fire. But God's Word, it'll never pass away. And we receive it. We receive Him as our prophet to teach us. We receive Him as our great high priest who offered to God the sacrifice that God demanded to put away all of the sins of all of His people. And our Lord Jesus Himself, He is that high priest and He is the sacrifice. He offered the sacrifice and He is Himself the sacrifice to God. There is one offering that God has accepted for sin. All through the Old Testament, you have men offering many, many different offerings for sin, many sacrifices for sin. And we read in Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 1, none of them could ever put sin away. Sin can't be put away by the blood of bulls and goats. But this man, the Scripture says in Hebrews chapter 10, this man, when he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, he sat down. He has, by his sacrifice, perfected forever them that are sanctified. God redeemed His people. God saved His people by the substitutionary death of the Lord Jesus. He is our priest, and we receive Him as such. And He is our King. We receive Him as King. We bow to Him as King. He's not going to be King. He's not going to be the Lord. Preachers every once in a while say things like this: once you make Jesus your Lord, you can't make Him Lord. God made Him Lord. You need to read Acts chapter 2 again. God made this same Jesus, it's what Peter said, whom you crucified, is talking to the Jews. God has made this same Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ. He's already the Lord. You can't make Him Lord. Who are you to make Him Lord? You say, well, I'll let Him be the Lord of my life. You can't let the Lord do anything. But by the grace of God, you'll bow to His Lordship. And everybody will. In this life, bowing to Him as Lord, that's called salvation. But if God the Spirit doesn't bring us to bow before the Lord Jesus, in this life, we'll bow before Him at the judgment. Because every knee's going to bow to Him. Every tongue's going to confess that He's the Lord to the glory of God the Father. We receive Him. We receive His gospel and we stand in it. Here's our support. Will the saints of God last? Will we be preserved? Will we be kept? Do we have everlasting life? The answer is yes, because of who keeps us. We're kept by the power of God. 1 Peter chapter 1 says that. That one who redeemed us, that one who bought us, that one who laid down his life for us, he keeps us safe. He keeps us looking to him. He keeps us believing. He keeps the eyes of our faith, and he gave us faith to begin with. He keeps the eyes of our faith focused on him. We look to Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. He authored it, he began it, and he'll finish it. Faithful is that one who will finish the work. And so, he then says in the second verse, by this gospel, also you're saved. You're saved. You're delivered. You're rescued. There is one message that God uses to rescue poor sinners, to deliver us from the judgment of God, to deliver us from the workings of Satan, to deliver us from the law of God that accuses us. There is one message by which you're saved. That's the gospel. And then he says, if ye keep in memory what I preached unto you. Now that word if, it is not a word of condition. It is a word of declaration that we will continue in the gospel because of the one who has revealed the gospel to us. Because of the one who is the gospel. We will continue on. Job said in the book of Job, the righteous, they shall hold on their way. We shall. We will hold on our way. The scripture says, the Savior says in John chapter 10, he said, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them. I love them. I'm affectionate toward them. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. What is the voice of the shepherd? It is this gospel, this message of good news. We follow him. And he says, they shall never perish. Oh, how dare anyone say to anybody that it is possible for the sheep to be lost when the Savior, the shepherd who laid down his life for the sheep, he said, I give unto them eternal life. If words mean anything, if the words of the Lord Jesus mean anything, there is our security. There's where we stand. Who holds us up? He does. And our faith looks to him only. You see, faith is always based on and looking to the Lord Jesus Christ. I know God holds this earth in space on nothing. But faith is not built on nothing. Faith is built on the Word of God and the rock Christ Jesus. And we stand therefore. Will we last? Will we persevere? Will we continue on? By the grace of God and by the power of the Lord Jesus Christ, the answer is yes. That's great, isn't it? It isn't dependent upon you. I don't think I can hold out. Well, I'm quite certain of it. You can't. But he will hold you up. He will hold you fast. And he won't let you go. He said, you're in the palm of my hand. And I'm in the palm of the Father's hand. You'll never perish. By which you're saved. You keep in memory what I preached unto you. He said, and here's where you stand. We're fixed on the solid rock, Christ Jesus. Who you building all your hopes on? our Lord there in Matthew chapter 7, and we're all pretty much familiar with this story. He talked about a wise man. He built his house on a rock. He dug down deep, and he put up a house. What is that? What's that a picture of? It's a picture of where we go for refuge from the wrath of God. And all of us this morning have some sort of refuge for our souls. And if we're made wise unto salvation by the Spirit of grace, we'll build all of our hope on the Lord Jesus Christ, the Rock of Ages, right? The Rock of Ages. We'll build on Him. And let the storms come against us. Let the winds of trouble blow, and the waves of trial and tribulation, let them come crashing upon us. Our house isn't going to fall. Built on the rock, Christ Jesus. When you can destroy, when Satan can destroy the rock, then he'll destroy us. He can't do it. But here's a foolish man, Matthew 7. He built his house on the sand. This picture's a person who builds upon the sinking sand of works, baptism, church membership, just name anything. I tell you, build on anything other than the Lord Jesus Christ, the Rock of Ages. Your house is in for fall, and you in that house, that means you're going to fall too. Now, if you don't want to fall, I don't want to fall into hell. Anybody want to fall into hell? I want a safe refuge for my soul. I am a soul. I have a body. My body's going to die. I know that someday. I want my soul to go back to God and live with Him forever. Live with Him till our Lord Jesus Christ comes back, and I'll come back with Him, and then this mortal body shall be raised, and this mortal shall put on immortality, and corruption shall put on incorruption, and then in a glorified body with a glorified soul joined together, I'll be with Him forever and ever. That's what I want. And that's what I have, having built by the grace of God on the rock, on Christ Jesus, who is settled and firm. He's the one ordained by God for salvation. That's the one we build on. Don't build on anything else. I listened when we were up in Michigan. I listened to a preacher up there, and he said in the Old Testament they were saved by keeping God's law. Wrong. And then he said the very last one who was saved by keeping God's law was a thief on the cross. Wrong. Those Old Testament believers, they're saved the same way we're saved, by grace, through faith in the Lord Jesus. And then he went on to say, now ever since the Lord Jesus died, here's the way we're saved. We're baptized and wash away all of our sins. Wrong again. That's not how you wash. You can't wash away your sins. How would you start? Because you see, and I'm going to bring this out tonight, sin is within. And you can wash, you can scrub. If you want me to take you into baptistry, you say, well, preacher, scrub me real good, make me clean. I say, well, let's just go out of the water, because I can't make you clean. That water's not for washing us. It's a testimony that we were washed in the blood of the Lord Jesus when He died, when He was buried, and we come forth in His resurrection in Him. That's the way of salvation. This is the good news of the gospel. But you build on anything else? Listen, the scripture is so very, very clear. Your house is not going to last. Oh, it may endure a few of the storms of life, but there's one storm. If you build on the sinking sand, whatever it may be, there's one storm your house won't endure. That's the storm of God's judgment. Your house may last all the way to the time you die, and you say, well, I'm as good for heaven as if I was already there. And then you die, and then you find out, oh my, my house looked pretty good on the outside, but it had no foundation. No foundation. Does your house have a foundation? The house of your salvation? The house of your refuge? Will it stand? Will it last? Will it last when God Almighty, when you stand before God Almighty, will your house last? You build on Christ Jesus, it'll last. Lasts forever. He says, wherein you stand. You keep these things in memory. You see, keeping the gospel in memory is the evidence of salvation. It's not the means of salvation. It's the evidence that God has done something for you. And then he says this in verse 3, for I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I also received. In other words, the message I preach to you is the message that God preached to me. Because he will say in Galatians chapter 1, he said, this gospel, I certify you, brethren, this gospel is not of man, but it's of God. And he said, I tell you, I heard the gospel from the lips of the Lord himself. And he said, I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I also received. He's just a sinner too. You say, I'm such a vile sinner, preacher. Well, nobody's going to argue with you about that. So am I. But the good news is, this is a faithful saying worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I'm chief, Paul said. And here's the apostle, and he says, listen, I deliver to you the same message that I believe. All who are saved, saved the same way. How that, and this is the gospel that I receive, how that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures. And that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the scriptures. This is the gospel. The gospel is the good news. The gospel is not good advice. The gospel is not good teaching. The gospel is glad tidings of a work that is historic, that has already been done and finished and wrapped up in total. That's what the gospel is. The gospel is the good news of a person and his work that he finished 2,000 years ago. It is of a real man who is God. The God-man and his labor of love in going to the cross of Calvary and enduring the wrath of God, drinking the cup of damnation dry for all of his people. It is that good news, glad tidings message that everything God demanded of sinners, Jesus Christ has rendered to him in full. That's good news. That's good news. The gospel is of a historic person and a historic event that happened 2,000 years ago, and the Lord Jesus said, "It is finished." That's what He said when He died, just before He died. The Father said, "It's enough." God unleashed in the very bosom of His Son all of the arrows of divine justice that we should have received forever and ever. All of the hell that we would have suffered forever and ever, it all was consumed by our substitute, the Lord Jesus. And the justice of God lashed out at His soul and whipped Him and beat Him and wounded Him until justice was exhausted. And justice said, "That's all I got. I don't have any more punishment." And a righteous and holy God said, "It is enough." And the Savior said, "Well, it's finished." He bowed His head and gave up the ghost. That's the good news. That's the good news. It's the good news that there was one who waged war for us and won. Who is He? Back here in Genesis chapter 3 and verse 15, He's the seed of the woman. And our Lord announced to that serpent, and He did so in the ears of Adam and Eve, He said, "The seed of the woman's going to bruise your head. You'll bruise His heel, but He's going to bruise your head. He's going to deliver to you a mortal blow." And that happened at the cross. And for 4,000 years, the people who believe God looked for Him to come. Oh, when will the seed of the woman come? Oh, when will that Messiah come? Oh, when will that Son of God come? When will that man be here who's promised to be born in Bethlehem? When will He arrive and make everything right? A man got us in this mess. Oh, how I long for the day when the God-man will make everything right. And they waited 4,000 years. And then an angel spoke to some shepherds. And they heard some good news. "Behold, there is born in the city of David a Savior. He's here, the seed of the woman." And they took that declaration, they took that message as being a message from God. Because they said further in Luke chapter 2, "The Lord has appeared to us. The Lord has spoken to us." You see, God uses messengers who declare His gospel. Actually, up here in verse number one, "Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel." Here's what the word "declare" means. It means much more than preach. It much means much more than proclaim. It means to give knowledge of. That's what it means. "Moreover, brethren, I give knowledge unto you of the gospel." I give knowledge unto you of the gospel. I tell you what, look back in that passage in Luke chapter 2. Let me show you something here. "I've made known unto you the gospel." That's what he's saying. Look back in Luke chapter 2. And you know, in just a matter of a few weeks, people will be reading this passage of Scripture. And it's always good for people to read the Word of God, but we need to understand what we read. Look here in Luke chapter 2. Look at verse 8. Now you know the story. that were in the same country, shepherds, not religious people. Isn't it amazing that the word of the angels, it didn't come to the chief priests, it didn't come to the elders, it didn't come to the Pharisees, it didn't come to the scribes, it didn't come to the Sadducees, it didn't come to the elders, it didn't come to those who looked to the law of Moses for their salvation. They're out on the fields at night keeping the sheep, shepherds, just ordinary folks. That's who God deals with. We just ordinary people, aren't we? Watch it. They were in the same country, shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. Little did they know, they were God's little flock right there. And there was a great shepherd who's looking after them. They're looking after their sheep, but there's the great shepherd who's looking after his sheep. And he sends to them a messenger. Look at verse 9. And by the way, watching over their flock by night, that's us in our darkened condition, isn't it? And lo, the angel of the Lord, it came upon them. And the glory of the Lord, it shone round about them. And they were sore afraid. And the angel... And you know, in the book of Revelation chapter 1, and then in chapters 2 and 3, each of the seven churches of Asia Minor had a preacher, and that preacher was called what? An angel, unto the angel of the church of Ephesus, unto the angel of the church of Sardis, unto the angel of the church of Thyatira, etc. Messenger. God sent him a messenger. You see, that's what God does. If He's going to do a work of grace in your heart, He will send to you a messenger to deliver to you His message, to set before you knowledge. How shall they hear without a preacher, is what it says in Romans chapter 10. He makes us know and know the truth. And He sends a messenger to do it. Read on. And the angel said unto them, don't be afraid, fear not. For behold, be amazed. I expect that the angel was amazed. For behold, I bring you good tidings. I bring you the gospel. Good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people, to all kinds of people. Not to every single person. It wasn't good news to Herod. It wasn't good news to the rulers in Jerusalem because they sought to kill him. But it's good news to all kinds of people. Sure is good news to me. Isn't it good news to you that he came? Look at verse 11. For unto you is born, literally has been born, this day in the city of David, a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. This is the good news. The Savior. What does the Savior do? He saves. The Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. How did He do that? By His substitutionary sacrificial death. He came to save. He didn't come to try. To save, to endeavor to save, to put forth an effort to save. Thou shalt call His name what? Jesus. Why? For He shall save. He shall save His people from their sins. Read on. This shall be a sign unto you. You shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And then suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts, a multitude of messengers. And they're all praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. God means good for people. This is good news. Now watch this. Now who delivered the message? Who was it that made known what was going to happen? The angel. But watch this, verse 15. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, let us now go even unto Bethlehem, and let's see this thing that has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known. Didn't say which the angel made known, which the Lord made known. And this word made known, we don't get into Greek words and that sort of thing, but I'll tell you this, this make known is identical to the word declared over there in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. I declare unto you the gospel. That's what Paul said. Not I proclaim, I declare unto you the gospel. And here it is put this way, made known. That's what Paul said. I've made known unto you the gospel. But it isn't enough for a man of God to make known to you the gospel. The Lord Himself's got to make it known. See, that's what's taught here. The Lord hath made known unto us. Oh, He used a messenger. He does that. And the messenger makes it known to your brain, to your mind, to your knowledge. But only the Lord can make Himself known to your heart. Only God can do that. And I'll give you this in closing. Our business here at 13th Street Baptist Church is just to preach the gospel to, as it says, I declare unto you the gospel. That's our business. We're not into political issues. Oh, I have my views. Don't much mount to anything, because what I think, what I hope, doesn't matter. What God has purposed, that's going to come to pass. Well, I'm not even a citizen here. I'm a citizen of a heaven. Why should I much care what goes on down here? You know, I think about the Apostle Paul. Boy, he lived in a day when, under a ruthless dictator. Oh, he was such a tyrant, Nero. And finally, he'll get Paul. He'll get him. But you know, you don't find Paul preaching against him, or just says, pray for him. That's all he said. You don't find the apostle, let's go march on Rome. That's just not fair. He's not into that. You know why he's not into that? Even if you get people's views, as you would think, all straightened out on these civil issues, they're still wrong in the heart. That which will only do people good is to declare unto them the gospel. That's the only hope people have got. And this is what we're all about. This is our cause. I'm opposed to abortion. I told somebody I could never vote, not knowingly, for any person who believes in abortion as it is, as many people believe today. Just kill babies right and left. Hundreds and hundreds of thousands. Far more than COVID-19 has killed or will kill. And yet, look at the vast majority, well, maybe not the vast majority, but look at the multitude of people who think it's okay. That's a woman's right. Oh, it's a woman's right to be a murderer? But you know what? Though I've been invited to march, go to Washington and march for the cause of abortion, anti-abortion rather, I will not join arm in arm with those who believe a false gospel in order to promote actually a cause that I'm in favor of, doing away with abortion. But I'm not going to march against that. Because what if we stopped them? What if we got people to stop doing all that? They still don't know God. That's the issue. They still don't know God. They still don't know Jesus Christ. They're still going out into eternity to meet a holy God, and they got no Savior. I was thinking about it this morning. I'm so thankful for the presence of the Lord with me always. And there'll be especially one time out in the future, I don't know when, but it's out there, that I absolutely want Him to be with me. That's when I die. Because I don't want to meet God without the Savior. I want to be in Him, washed, robed, accepted in the Beloved. And so, that's the reason I declare unto you the gospel. I make the gospel known to you. Who He is. What He did. He's the God-man. What did He do? He came down here. He lived, He died for sinners in order that God might be just and justify the ungodly. That's our message. That's what we're all about here. Well, I'll continue this little train of thought tonight. Hope you go home, think about what you've heard during these last 40, 45 minutes or so. And I hope that, as the Scripture says, the black birds, the evil birds of darkness, don't snatch the good seed away. I hope you'll mull it over, mull these things over, this gospel. May the Lord be pleased to teach us all and bring us to the Savior, that one of whom to know is life everlasting. Why don't you come on to the Savior? Not come to the front. Not come to me. Come to Him. Come to Him. Lord, we bow before You here at the end of this service. So thankful that You sent to us a preacher. You sent to us someone who would declare the gospel of Your free grace, the gospel of the Lord Jesus, the gospel of redeeming mercy. And He told us of the Savior and His work by which He reconciled a people unto God. Lord, thank You for that messenger. Thank You for that angel who delivered the glad tidings to us. And thank You, Lord, that You took the glad tidings and You put it down in our hearts. You burned it within us. And it's with us always. A knowledge of and a love of the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Do Your work, Lord, in the hearts of men and women and boys and girls. I pray that the message has been clear, that it's been delivered in simplicity. Lord, don't want to confuse anybody. We want to, as best we can, impart knowledge. But only You can take a knowledge of this glorious message and put it in our heart. And so we're totally dependent upon You. We wait on You to do a work that only You can do, a work within the heart, granting repentance toward God, that is, a turning away from all false gospels. And you bring us to believe and turn to this true gospel of the grace of God to the sinful in the Lord Jesus, the only Savior. Bless these dear people. These things we ask in the name of our Savior and for His sake. Amen.